Our gospel lesson this first Sunday in Christmas comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Many, many years ago, as a young man, I had a co-worker named Connie Green. Connie was well past retirement age, but continued to work. She said it was because she was Norwegian and didn't know any better. Actually, Connie was a proud Norwegian. She ate lutefisk. She knew all the Sven and Ole jokes, and she wore beautiful sweaters. When she discovered that I was of mostly Norwegian descent, she decided that I was okay. When I think of Connie, though, the thing I remember most clearly is a story she told me. One of Connie's most treasured possessions was the diary of her mother's sister, who with her husband immigrated from Norway and settled on the plains of North Dakota sometime before 1917. Like many immigrants upon arrival, they secured farmland and built a house out of sod. But that first winter, the winter of 1918, was harsh, and there was a flu epidemic. 3 of their 8 children died. I wondered how those parents survived such a tragedy without losing their minds to grief. And I wondered what made them do it in the first place, leave their home and travel across an ocean with already 5 or 6 children to start a new life in a completely strange land. What makes people do that? The answer is hope. Hope inspires us to be bold. Hope consoles us through the worst tragedy. Hope is a most valuable commodity. Where do you get it? Our gospel lesson today is about hope. In Luke 2, we read that Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus made their way to the temple in Jerusalem when the time for purification came. You can read Leviticus 12 to learn about this. After the birth of a son, according to Levitical law, the mother was to touch nothing considered holy and was not permitted to enter the temple sanctuary. On the eighth day, the child was circumcised, but for another 33 days, the mother was set apart. Finally, on the 40th day, the mother was to come to the temple to be purified, and this involved presenting offerings to God. The prescribed offering was a lamb. However, for those of humble means, two doves or pigeons would suffice. On the 40th day, in addition to marking the end of Mary's quarantine, the baby Jesus, as a firstborn son, had to be presented to the Lord as belonging to him. So we learn two things about this family Jesus had been born into. First, Mary and Joseph were devout Jews, and also, they were poor. But the most important thing we just read in Luke 2 has to do with nothing with Mary and Joseph. It has to do with two people who normally wouldn't even be noticed because they were old and they were poor and they were weirdly eccentric. Simeon and Anna were the kind of people you might vaguely admire, but you'd never want to trade places with them. Their lives were difficult and tragic. But here's what truly set Simeon and Anna apart. They had hope. So often our lives can seem pointless. If we disappeared, who would be the worse for it, ultimately? Time marches on. People adjust. And if anyone was justified in having an attitude like that, it was Simeon. He was old and apparently alone in this world. But he was not bitter. He was excited. He was energized because he had hope. God had promised him something very simple but profound, and God delivered. Simeon's hope was fulfilled. And Anna, you know, people got married in that culture around 15 or 16 years old. Anna was married for 7 years and then a widow for over 60 years. No one else was interested in marrying Anna. So there she lived her life at the bottom rung of the economic ladder, rejected, alone, and yet it says she never left the temple. She worshiped night and day, fasting and giving thanks to God. You have to ask, giving thanks for what? What was it with Simeon and Anna? They had hope, hope that was a gift from God, hope conveyed to them through the Holy Spirit, hope that does not disappoint. Read Romans 5. In his time on earth, Jesus gave hope to unlikely people like Simeon and Anna, and unlikely people who were like us, people whose dreams and expectations had maybe been shattered, people who found their lives disappointing or their hopes unfulfilled. Those are the people to whom Jesus gave hope. For example, it was Lazarus, the desperately sick and impoverished beggar. He's the one who found himself in heaven, comforted by Abraham, not the rich man. And it was Mary Magdalene, the crazy lady, from whom Jesus cast out 7 demons. She's the one who gathered with the other disciples when Jesus rose from the dead, not some distinguished wife of a member of the Sanhedrin. It was the town prostitute who Jesus pronounced forgiveness and acceptance from God, not Simon the prominent Pharisee. It was the confessed criminal dying on the cross who begged for mercy. He's the one who received forgiveness and life from Jesus, not Pontius Pilate, the powerful Roman governor of Judea. It was the slimy, self-serving, hated tax collector who saw himself as he really was and cried out for mercy. He's the one who received mercy and forgiveness from God, not the self-righteous Pharisee. It was the humble centurion. It was the father of the dying girl. It was the despised Samaritan woman. It was the man born blind, the bleeding woman, the rejected and dying leper, the man paralyzed and helpless. And it was people like us, the guilty, the inadequate, the sinful, the desperate, those of us who are secretly ashamed. It was people like us who recognize we have nowhere else to turn. We are the kind of people to whom Jesus gives hope. We are the kind of undeserving people who receive real forgiveness and life. And in the end, our hope in Christ will never put us to shame. In fact, our hope in Christ is the only thing that will never disappoint us. It's Christmas. Christ is born, and you are forgiven. Merry Christmas.